Friends, we come to the Word of God this morning, and I want to speak this morning to you and consider the rainbow, the rainbow. If you have taken a walk outside your homes, you would have noticed that there are many pictures of painted rainbows appearing all around the country, on people's homes, on the people's windows and fences and cars. And there are rainbows everywhere, it seems. And it makes the country very colorful. People in Italy and Spain began putting up the pictures and the paintings of rainbows as a sign of hope and as a sign of solidarity. And it has spread to other countries, this idea of having pictures of the rainbow. It's a wonderful thing. And I'm sure many of you children, have painted rainbows and put them up on your windows. Now, what is the purpose of the rainbow? What's the picture of the rainbow? What is the meaning of the rainbow? Well, the Bible speaks to us about that. The purpose that people around us say that it's supposed to mean is to hold out some sort of a bright hope in the darkest of times. And isn't it good to see rainbows displayed in such a way, in much better context? In this way, the rainbow better connects to its original meaning that God intended, rather than as a symbol of unnatural and unbiblical lifestyle and that people have used it for. So it is a wonderful thing to see these rainbows everywhere on our streets. But it is a sign from God. Remember, the rainbow is a sign from God. We read that in Genesis chapter 9. There is much more to the rainbow than a general symbol of hope in stormy times and in difficult times of a nation. And God made the rainbow for a purpose, and He gave it a special meaning and significance. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it teaches us? That is what we want to think about now from the Bible. The first mention of the rainbow is in Genesis chapter 9. After that worldwide flood, the Lord created the rainbow. The Bible also shows that the rainbow is a symbol in that vision, the visions of the Lord Jesus Christ in various books of the Bible, especially in the books like Ezekiel and Revelation. Rainbow is mentioned in those parts. Did you know that? For example, in Ezekiel chapter 1, it gives us the picture of the brightness and the glory surrounding the person who is sitting upon this heavenly throne. It's recorded in chapter 1 and verses 26 through to 28 of Ezekiel. And in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 3, at that last book of the Bible, there's a similar picture which makes it clear that it is a vision and a description of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You see, Jesus Christ is so glorious. He is clothed with the brightness of glory, and has a brightness surrounding Him that resembles the bow or the rainbow in the cloud. We call it the rainbow. The Bible refers to it as the bow. And so in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 3, we read that there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. There is so much that we can encourage ourselves with here as we learn about and as we apply the meaning of the rainbow to our present circumstances. And there are five very brief things that I want to explain to you this morning regarding the rainbow. That first of all, the rainbow speaks of God's faithfulness. The rainbow speaks of God's faithfulness. The second thing I want to say is that the rainbow speaks of God's glory. The third thing is that the rainbow speaks of God's mercy. And fourthly, the rainbow speaks of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, and fifthly, that the rainbow speaks of mercy in the midst of judgment. So let's think about those, and I will repeat those headings for you again. The first point that I want you to notice is this, that the rainbow speaks of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. You'll find the rainbow mentioned first, as we said, in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis that we read together, in chapter 9 of Genesis, and verse 13, that the Lord says this, that I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. There God says to Noah, after the flood that covered the whole earth, you remember that, when the water subsided, and Noah came to worship God, God announced that I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. So do you see what God does there? Do you see how God puts it? There are two ways that God makes the rainbow special and honors the rainbow. One of the ways that God makes the rainbow special, that he says that it is his rainbow. It's his rainbow. Can you see that? It says, my bow, or my rainbow. It's God's rainbow. Did you know that? And so every time you look at the rainbow, you can say, God's rainbow. My Lord's rainbow is there in the sky. And another thing is this, that the Lord makes it a token or a sign of the covenant between him and the earth. And we'll look at that later on. So there are two ways that he makes this special. He says, God says that it is his rainbow. And he says it's a token. It's a sign of his agreement and promise and covenant between him and the earth. So the rainbow is meant to remind us of the great flood that drowned that world. And to assure us that God will never do it again. So that's what he says. He will not do it again. If you look at verses 14 and 15, this is what God says. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and everything or every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. So God says the waters will not become a flood, this worldwide flood, to destroy all flesh. So when you see the rainbow in the sky, you should do two things. You should do two things. One of the things that we should do, we should remember that it came, the rainbow came about because God had punished the sinful and wicked world by that flood. And all the people outside of the ark were drowned in the waters. And this was a worldwide flood. It wasn't a localized flood. But the Lord promises that he will not flood the whole world anymore. So that's one thing. We remember that it came after the judgment, after God punished this sinful world. And so it's a very serious thing. It's a very solemn thing here. But also another thing that we should think about when we see a rainbow is that we should remember God's rich mercy to Noah and his family and down through the ages to our day. From then to now, we should remember his mercy, that God has bound himself to us by a covenant, by a promise, and he has kept his promise. He's been faithful to that promise. This bow, this rainbow, is a sign that of that promise that he will never destroy the world again in that way. So it's a picture of hope after the storm, and that God has kept his promise for hundreds and thousands of years. And do you know anyone else who has kept his word like that? Anybody who has kept his word for hundreds and thousands of years like the Lord? We can then trust in God's mercy, can't we? We can trust in his faithfulness, that when he says something, he will do it. God is faithful, and the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful and true. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that's the first thing, God's faithfulness. But also the rainbow, secondly, teaches us and speaks of God's glory. God's glory. Remember that. Every time you see the rainbow, you can say, God is faithful. But also that shows to me the glory of the Lord. Well, I will read two passages, one from Ezekiel chapter 1, and then from Revelation chapter 4. First from Ezekiel chapter 1, in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verses 26 through to verse 28, we read of a brightness that seems to surround the whole throne and the person of God in heaven, who we know to be the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 26, we read, "And above the firmament which was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it." So there is a man who is on that throne. "And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about." So there is a brightness round about, and it looks like the rainbow. "This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord," he says. It looked like the appearance of the glory of Jehovah. "And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake." So that's what we read in Ezekiel chapter 1. This prophecy, this vision that he has about Jesus Christ upon his throne, and there is this rainbow around him showing the glory of Jehovah. And then in Revelation chapter 4, a similar picture we read in verse 3, that where the Lord Jesus Christ again is on his throne, that there is a rainbow round about him as well. And this suggests that the rainbow that we read in Ezekiel was also round about the throne. So when we see a rainbow, we need to think about how glorious and how great God is. You see, God's glory is always greatly evident in his creation. But when the rainbow is in the cloud, God adds something which we should never forget. It's not just one color, but it's different colors. Imagine that. Imagine if the rainbow just had one color. But God has added more colors to it. He's painted more colors on the rainbow. And it is beautiful. It is attractive. It attracts the eye at that moment more than all the other wonderful things in the sky. So one of the things that you should notice about the glory of God is that this glory in creation, that God is the creator of this world. Or sometimes people take a picture or draw a picture of something of nature, maybe the sunset, maybe the rainbow, maybe the clouds, maybe the various scenes that they see around them. And we say, that's a wonderful picture that you've taken. And they even talk about the painting or the photograph, which is a wonderful picture. But then we often forget the actual creator of it, the actual painter, who is God himself. Oftentimes we treat God's creation as somebody who might look at a wonderful picture, a beautiful painting, and then what they would do, instead of thinking about the painter and giving glory to the painter, we would say, well, what wonderful paint he used, what a wonderful brush he used, and so on. Well, it would be a shame if we forget the painter and we concentrate on those things, other things. But sadly, many people do that with the creation of this world. They forget God and they worship the creature rather than the creator. But when you see the rainbow, you see that God's wonderful creative power and his glory in creation. And it is a beautiful creation. And remember that what we see in the rainbow, it is a borrowed glory. It is borrowed beauty. the beauty of the rainbow would not be there unless the sun is shining after the rain. Through the mist and through the rain, it is shining. Unless the sun is shining, there is no rainbow. So the glory of the rainbow, the beauty of the rainbow is because the sun is shining. And it teaches us that the glory of all created things is from another, from the Creator God, from the Lord Jesus Christ. By Him, the scripture says, kings reign. It is by Him that governments are raised and brought down. This is what Proverbs tells us in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 15. By me kings reign and the princes decree justice. We would be so, we should be so thankful and praise God because He blesses us as well. And we are called again and again by the Bible, by the psalmist, oftentimes, in, for example, in Psalm 107 and verse 8, to praise God and give thanks to God for His glory and His greatness. He says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. But also remember the glory of God and the person of Jesus Christ. He enlightens every man that comes into the world. John tells us this in John chapter 1 and verse 9. So the rainbow reminds us, should remind us, of God's glory in creation, but also we see God's glory and greatness in His providence, in the way He keeps people, in the way He provides for people, in the way He protects His people. That's what providence is. So it speaks the glory of God, and the rainbow speaks of the glory and the beauty of the divine providence in its different ways that it treats those who live in rejection of God in their lives, and also the way God deals with those who are Christians, who are believers and followers of the Lord. You remember how it was in the Noah's flood that the providence of God, the way God cared, and the way God deals with people, with the affairs of people, that God is involved in people's lives. God is not detached Himself from this world. He punishes one and it gives grace and blessing to the other. So the rainbow appears all around the world and it shows that God is at work everywhere. That's what it shows. God deals in people's lives. That you can go to Him anytime. You can go and trust in Him at any moment. What a comfort that is to those who really know Him. Now, the third thing that I want us to move to and speak about is that the rainbow speaks not only of the faithfulness of God and the glory of God, but it speaks of mercy too. The rainbow, thirdly, speaks of mercy. It's a token of the mercy and favor of the Lord. You see, the rainbow, it's a bow without arrows. And the back of it points toward heavens, and it ends in downwards to the earth. So we can think of it as a sign of mercy of God. When someone shoots arrows, and you know people who are shooting arrows, the person holds the arrow and pulls it back, holds it way back away from him. But here it is not directed towards the earth, but rather upward. The bow is pointing upward. And the scriptures show how it is a sign of grace and mercy. You see, God is truly kind and merciful and always, always acts first before we do. In Isaiah chapter 54 and verses 8 through to 10, God applies this covenant, this promise, this demonstration of His mercy made with Noah and he relates it to the covenant of grace that is made with the Lord Jesus Christ. This promise that is made to us and to Jesus Christ. And this is what we read in Isaiah 54 and verse 8. In a little wrath, God says, I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness, this is what God says. This is His promise through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Do you see that God relates his covenant with Noah with his mercy towards us through the Lord Jesus Christ? In the book of Revelation, again, the rainbow is also a sign of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ sits on the throne with a rainbow round about him. You look it up in chapter 4 and verse 3. And that shows that the throne of Christ is surrounded with his mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ even has a rainbow for his own crown. Did you know that? That is what we read in the scriptures. That's what we read in Revelation chapter 10. You look it up and see it for yourself. In Revelation 10 and verse 1, it says this, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it glorious? There, Jesus Christ, the Lord, is presented as an angel, as a messenger of grace and peace, and he has upon his head a crown of rainbow. Here is the Prince of Peace, as we read in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. And his crown is the rainbow, an emblem of peace, which was the emblem, the token that was given in Genesis chapter 9. Friends, the rainbow has a variety of colors and is all glorious. And that wonderfully represents the mercies and the beauties and the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing in the Lord Jesus Christ that cannot satisfy the longing soul. The poor sinner's soul is satisfied by all the aspects of the life and the work and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the symbol of the rainbow is about God's faithfulness, God's glory, God's mercy presented to anyone who humbles themselves in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. God's glory of justice is shaped, as it were, in a rainbow, which is a token of his mercy. So when you see a rainbow, you remember God is merciful. You remember God is love. But the fourth thing that I want to say is this. The fourth picture is that the rainbow speaks of grace in Jesus Christ. It speaks of grace in Jesus Christ. Well, think about it. How does God's mercy and grace come down to us? How does this rainbow of God come down to us? The mercy and the grace comes to us, this world, through Jesus Christ, through his human nature. In Ezekiel's vision, the brightness and the beam that makes the book, it comes out from him and it surrounds him. You read Ezekiel chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27, you see that the beams come from him, that the rainbow comes from him. And you think about this. This is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, his human nature, that the Word was made flesh, that Jesus Christ took on humanity. And the glory and the grace came from Jesus Christ. You look up John's Gospel and chapter 1, this is what you read. In verse 10, for example, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. In verse 14, this is what we read, and the world was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That was the most glorious rainbow that ever was or shall be in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. So So the rainbow points us to the mercy that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, to the fact that God became man, God was manifest in the flesh, and he comes from heaven as the rainbow is coming down to earth. He touches heaven and earth, connects them together. Jesus Christ was not merely a sign of peace. He's not just a little picture of peace, but he himself is our peace. The Apostle Paul tells us in the Bible that he is our peace. Is he your peace? Do you have peace? Do you have a spiritual peace? Do you have peace in your life? Or like this world, you're like a storm and the floods and the waves going up and down and up and down and never at rest. For the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our peace, because by his blood that he shed upon the cross, he has brought near us to God. Now, the fifth thing, the final thing is this, that the rainbow speaks of mercy in the midst of judgment. The rainbow speaks of mercy in the midst of judgment. When there is a rainbow, there has already come the wind and the rain and the storm. It's not always a happy picture of the rain falling down, people running away to take shelter. And then they see the rainbow. The Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, in his wrath, remembers mercy, the Bible says. He mingles mercy with his judgment. The scripture talks about, and as we have read, he's sitting upon a throne as king and as judge. And he, as judge, he pronounces, he gives his sentence against the sinful people and sinful nations, as he's doing right now. He executes the vengeance written against unrepentant sinners. He brings confusion upon nations who think so highly of themselves. You see, we say, well, we have scientists. We have this, we have that. We are so sophisticated. We have technology. We have so many books. We have libraries. We have so much information. And yet, God brings us so low to show our foolishness. That all these atheists and the secularists, they're actually foolish. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God, the scripture says. And Jesus Christ is the judge. He sits upon his throne. And yet, here he is surrounded with the rainbow. And this was the show to the people of Ezekiel's time that he would not destroy the Jews. That was one of the key things there in that passage. He will spare a remnant. And when the great flood was drowning the world, yet Noah and his family were saved in the ark, which is another picture of our Savior Jesus Christ, that ark. There was mercy amidst judgment. And here is a judge with a rainbow over his head. Jesus Christ has a rainbow over his head. And that assures you, my friends, that those who trust in Jesus Christ and trust that Jesus Christ that he died on the cross for us, and those of us who repent of our sins, he assures you that you would not perish in the flood of his wrath that is coming. When the Lord Jesus Christ sits in judgment with the rainbow about him, if you're one of his people, then you know that you will not perish by God's wrath. Oh, if you are discouraged today, if you are fearful today, my friends, fearful that what should you think of the rainbow? You ought to think of the rainbow around the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to remember that his throne is surrounded with his mercy. You can go to him even now and plead for his mercy upon you, and call like that publican in the Bible, that tax collector in the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of, and cry to God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It was said of the Jews in the past that when they saw the rainbow, they went out to confess their sins, but they would not look at the rainbow itself. So they would see the rainbow, and then they would go out to confess their sins, but they won't look towards the rainbow. They won't see the rainbow. You see, the confession of sin, or indeed any other thing that we might do, any other duty, will do us no good unless we look to the rainbow, the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, justice and mercy, they surround, they're all around the throne of Christ. There was brightness round about, the scripture says, and the rainbow was round about the throne. So go to the Lord Jesus Christ's throne. Through prayer, you can have direct access to the throne of God, the Bible says. There is nothing there but justice there for sinners unless they go there repenting, unless they go there believing in Jesus Christ. And if you go trusting and repenting in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him, there is then nothing for you but mercy. But there is nothing for you but forgiveness and peace and blessedness for you. Not wrath. Jesus, you see, on the cross, drowned the storm of God's wrath, and He paid our sin debt, so that sinners like you and me would see His rainbow of peace. Here is the rainbow in the cloud in the day of rain. So when you see the heavy storms, when you see the rain that is falling down and coming towards you, and when you see in this world God's judgment in our time because of the world's sin, you should look to the rainbow and trust in Jesus Christ. We should remember the promise. We should remember the covenant of God's love in Jesus Christ and in His mercy. God's Noahs will be safe in the ark. The believer will be hidden. Christ will show them mercy and mercy again. Even though kingdoms are swamped by floods of error, all kinds of false ideas and hypocrisies and the wisdom of man, even though the world is filled with superstition and ungodliness and man-made religion or atheism, even though the world is drowned in troubles and disease, we will still be able to see God and Christ with love and mercy toward us sinners. So look to the rainbow, my friends. Well, in conclusion, when you think of the original meaning of this symbol of the rainbow in the Bible, it fills our hearts with hope. And it's a real hope. The rainbow reminds us of God's faithfulness. It reminds us of God's mercy. And it shows us His grace in Jesus Christ. Though the skies around us may be very dark in many ways under present troubles, yet we can trust God's mercy, can't we? And we can trust His faithfulness in the gospel, in His good news. And it's important to understand that although the world won't be destroyed by a virus or a nuclear winter or an asteroid, that doesn't mean that it will last forever. God is preserving the world, but He preserved the world so that His Son could come and bring salvation to lost sinners, to establish His kingdom, for His church and His cause, for it to advance to the ends of the earth. And He's doing that. He's preserving the world today so that His Son can come again to judge the living and the dead. And one day, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ will return to this world. But my friends, then there will be no rainbow on that day. There will be no more grace on that day. Now is the accepted time. Now is the time to prepare to face God as judge. And the only way to do that is by trusting in Jesus Christ, the Lord, to save you from God's judgment. And He will do that. Look to the rainbow. Be thankful to God. Give Him glory. And look to Jesus Christ for grace and help in your time of need. Amen. May God bless these things to each one of us. Let us bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, We give thee thanks and praise thee for thy love towards us sinners. We thank thee that thou hast kept us and blessed us in so many ways. We pray that as we look to the rainbows and as the children draw pictures and paint the rainbow, may our hearts remember him who loved us and gave himself for us. We pray these things now through Christ our Savior. Amen.